Amen. Good morning. How are you? Really? Why don't we, one of my buddies was saying, man, sometimes I wish you would lead like you coach basketball, like coach high school basketball. And we warm up, we practice at 6 o'clock in the morning. 6 o'clock in the morning, so I got to be there at 5:30. And so the kids come in, and you figure, man, they're young. They should be ready to rock. They come in their slippers, scuffing their feet, sleeping their eyes, doing all this stuff. And so we go into our warm-up. We have this routine that we do, and we have a couple of warm-ups that we do. You know, it's 11-man. It's kind of a full-court thing. You know, we run this 5-3, 1-3, 5. I mean, we run back and forth and we loosen up and then we stretch. And every so often, when I'm looking at the guys, or maybe I'm trying to wake myself up, I'll add one more exercise for them just to get them warmed up. So I don't know if it's you, or I don't know if it's me, but I think I need a little bit more warm up. So let's stand up and sing one more song. You got to rock with me. I haven't sang songs in a while. So I'm going to sing an oldie and a goodie. Now, remember, there's only a couple of things that we do. So everybody knows when we do these things, what we're doing. Okay. We're warming up, and I may explain a little bit more after that. Trouble come my way.
Trouble come my way.
You got to pray sometime.
Trouble come my way.
You gotta pray sometimes, and you know that my Jesus, you know that my Jesus, you know that my Jesus, after a while, trouble come my way, you gotta fight sometimes, trouble
my way.
Trouble come my way. You gotta fight sometimes. And you know that my Jesus.
Jesus,
come on, you sound great. Know that my Jesus.
Jesus,
you know that my Jesus.
Jesus,
after a while, trouble come my way. You gotta cry sometimes.
Trouble come my way.
You gotta cry sometimes. And you know that my Jesus. Hey! You know that my Jesus. You know that my Jesus. After a while. Hey! Trouble come my way. You gotta smile sometimes. Hey!
Trouble come my way.
You gotta smile sometimes. And you know that my Jesus. You know that my Jesus. You know that my Jesus. After a while. After a while. After a while, after a while, yeah, all right. Go ahead and have a seat. You all right? Amen. Yeah. I'm glad you feel that way. Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. Now, I am batting cleanup. We've had a couple of lessons on this passage about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. I appreciate the guys sharing. I've been given the life. I want to start from the beginning. I want to give us a little bit of context as Jesus, because Jesus is making the statement. Now, when I look at this passage, I'm going to read this. Jesus told him, who did he tell? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay, there's a couple of things in my mind that I think about when I hear this passage. I've heard this passage, maybe you have, forever. But there's a context to this passage. I'm asking myself who, what, when, where, and why. Why does this matter? All right, and we're going to attempt to answer all of these, and we're going to get to the life, and then we're going to take communion together, and we're going to be inspired because of who Jesus is. Amen? Amen? I don't know if there's a whole lot of illustrations and bells and whistles and stories, and so the question that you've got to ask yourself and what you've got to be praying about right now is, Jesus, enough. Let's pray to get our hearts right, amen? Maybe yours is already right, and maybe it's just me. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much for your grace, mercy, and patience. Thank you for all of the people that are here, and thank you for your Holy Spirit who will speak to our lives. God, we pray in Jesus' name to be rid of being entertained, to be rid of being amused, but this year to be inspired because of who Jesus is. And Father, because of Jesus and who he is, we pray in Jesus' name that we stand, that we will live, that we will walk, that we will be a projection of your love like Jesus to the best of our ability. We pray, Father, for anybody that's searching, that you make yourself evident like only you can. I pray, Father, you take me out of the way and you move. We know that you will, you always do. We lift up those hurting. We lift up those in need of you. We lift up ourselves to you. We surrender to your spirit. We surrender to your word this morning. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen and amen. I'm appreciative of you all being here. Ladies, it's great to see you. I love it when you guys are here. I'm sometimes sad when I'm not preaching and you guys come. It's just like that sometimes. Okay, so I'm going to have Jim drop those slides on you. Yeah? So let's look at the next slide. Now, we're starting to get a little bit of context because this is the verse before John 14:6. Yeah? It says this is who Jesus was speaking to. Lord, Thomas said, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? He's speaking to Thomas, and Thomas is asking him a question. So Jesus is answering Thomas. Now, who is Thomas? Thomas is, don't be afraid. Thomas is one of Jesus' disciples. Amen? Okay, so he's talking, he's answering a question for Thomas. Now, let's go to the next slide. Okay, so now we have all of this in context. Now, we're going to put all of this together. All right? You guys all right with this? All right. When do the Chiefs play? 2:00? Okay, so we got to 2:00. Like, say what? Okay, now, we're going to put this together, all right? It's like Legos we're putting together. Now, your heart must not be troubled. Now, this is Jesus talking. He says, your heart must not be troubled. Okay. So, obviously, somebody's heart is troubled. Who is that? Believe in God. Believe also in me. We read this earlier. Thanks, Ken. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you. I am going away to prepare a place for you. I am going away to prepare a place for you. He says, all of these rooms are in my Father's house, and I'm going away to prepare a place. So is it possible that whoever he's talking to is troubled because maybe he's leaving somewhere? And you go, duh, I knew that. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself so that where I am, you may also be. You know the way to where I am going. And then we get to, Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Thomas's question comes after. He says this. So somebody's heart's troubled. Thomas is probably troubled. Yeah. But is there someone else that may be troubled? Is there another slide? Hey, let's go. So this is before we get to John chapter 14, verse 1. Yeah? And we see, Lord, Simon Peter said to him, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I am going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow later. See how that's locking up? Lord, Peter asked, why can't I follow you? I will lay down my life for you. We know who said this, right? That's Peter. Jesus replied, will you lay down your life for me? I assure you, a rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times. So Jesus is like, so Peter is obviously dismayed. So if we put that all together, you have two people that are asking questions. Yeah? So we have the who and the what was Jesus addressing. He was addressing their confusion and their dismay. Yeah? His disciples, who, what, when was he doing this? He was doing this. We titled this session, The Baby Grew Up. The baby grew up kind of fast because we went from Christmas and him being born to now he's getting ready to go to the cross. So that's my bad. Maybe I should have thought about that a little bit more as far as growing up. But for all intents and purposes, we believe that the word will do what it will do. Yeah? So let's look at the next slide here. See what we got. Okay, now I want to set some context for you, and how did these guys get to turn in your Bibles? You have your Bibles. I don't have the scripture up here. I'm sorry, but I'm not really sorry because you should have a phone or a Bible with you. And I think there's some Bibles out there. Amen. And it's a lost art to open your Bible and wield that sword. Amen. Yeah. Now, I want to look at chapter 12 of the book of John. And I won't read into it too much, but 6 days before the Passover festival, Jesus and his disciples go into Bethany, okay? They're on their way to the Passover festival. They go to this festival, and they're in Bethany, and this is where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Okay? He raises Lazarus from the dead. And so all of these people start talking about Jesus and the miracles and these different things on their way to the Passover festival. Okay? So they're on their way to the Passover festival. And so now the chief priest and all his folks, they're seeing that Lazarus has been raised from the dead, and it kind of thwarts their cause and starts to draw all these Jews start to follow Jesus, and they're moving away from the chief priests and the Pharisees and those different folks. Yeah, they're moving away. And so they get mad and they say, man, we got to get to that festival and we got to kill Lazarus. We've got to eliminate the evidence because this evidence is drawing people to Jesus. Okay? These people are seeing that and they're going, I ain't never seen that before. Hey, we got to ride. Forget this. We got to go. Okay, so this happens. Now, we get to, if we move through chapter 12, we get to this point where the folks are at the festival, and you got Jesus' triumphal entry and all these different types of things. Now, you have these Greeks that have come to the festival because they've heard about Jesus. Okay? They've heard about Jesus. And they get to this point where I think they hit up a guy named Philip. Now, who is Philip? Philip is one of Jesus' disciples. And they say to Philip, they say, it's in chapter 12. They say, sir, we would like to meet this Jesus that we've heard about. Can you be like our backstage pass and get us in there with Jesus amongst all of these people? And so Philip gathers up some of the disciples, and he goes and he talks to Jesus. He gathers all these people up, and these people come. And Jesus, I think in 12:32 maybe, might be worth reading. I hope I'm right. 32. he's having this conversation, and let's go to 24. So let's go to 22. Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus that these guys wanted to meet him. And Jesus replied to them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I assure you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains itself, by itself, alone. But if it dies, it produces a large crop. The one who loves his life will lose it, and the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there my servants also will be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Okay, so he says that. Now imagine, even though the disciples had heard all of this, they're still a bit like, okay, well, you know, we got a good thing going here. And Jesus is talking about this. Yeah? So there's a little bit of bewilderment. So he goes on to say, Isaiah prophesied about me. Isaiah is a long, long time before you. But you guys know it because you know about him. You know what he said. When he said what he said, he was talking about me. Oh. So he does that. He predicts his death. And then he gathers his disciples up, and then they go up into the upper room to have their, Jesus has his final discourse, his last discourse, his kind of his time with his disciples. So I went through chapter 12 just to kind of set you up the before. Yeah? And then he gets to, he predicts the betrayal of Judas. You guys all right? He answers some questions. He talks about the new commandment. Yeah? And then Peter has this question. Thomas has this question. And then in the midst of that, we're at where we're at in John 14, 6. Okay? So does that make sense? What Jesus is saying? And then, for further context, if you read after that, you know what I'm saying? Chapter 12. You see, Thomas has, after his question, then Jesus talks, and then Philip has a request, and Philip's request is, hey, let us see the Father. And Jesus replies, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then later on, he promises the Holy Spirit to folks. Does that make sense? Okay, now let's go to the next slide. Okay. He's laughing. I want you to ask yourself this question. How must the disciples have felt to know that Jesus was predicting his death? And he was going to go. Now, they were with him for 3 years. They were trained by him. They saw him do miracles. I mean, just think about the last miracle he did. He's talking about that he's going to die, but he just raised Lazarus from the dead. Would that confuse you? It's like, hold on a second. How are you going to die when you can raise people from the dead? And we saw this. You're going to leave us. I mean, you know, you're everything to us. We gave up everything to follow. Your promises, are everything that you said would happen has happened. But now, you're saying you're going to leave. This is a shadow of an illustration. I had the privilege of working in K through 8 schools. And you see some kids that they come to school and their mom brings them to school. And they're terrified. Their mom goes to walk off and they go, and they're just doing this in a circle, and then there's other kids that are, and you see these parents hanging around in the hallway, and they're trying to look, and then you see parents come over, and they get down on one knee with their kid, and they say, now I told you about this. I told you that you were going to have a first day of school, that mommy wouldn't be there, that now you have this teacher that's going to take care of you. You're going to learn some things. You're going to have some friends. You know, the people in your neighborhood, in our neighborhood that live by us, your neighbor, he's in the class too. He's going to protect you. I've already talked to him. We've got all of this worked out. You're going to be okay. And some of you were those kids. And some of you have had those kids. Yeah? And you're watching this whole thing, and that's how it looks right there. Remember? But then the kid, as soon as the mom starts to move away or the dad starts to move away, the kid's facial expression starts to change. They start walking with them, and it's like, no, you know, I'm in charge of keeping you in the room, and we have to go here. But what you see is there is my provider, my protector, my everything is going to be gone. And now I'm in this foreign place. I hear all that you're saying, but it doesn't really register with me. Now, that's just a shadow. Now, Jesus is talking about he's going to die. He's made the blind to see, the paralyzed to walk. He's pulled tithes out of fish. He's done all of these things, and now he's saying that he's going to die. Imagine, if you can, and pray to the Holy Spirit to put that on your heart. Imagine what your superhero, what your teacher, what your leader, what your protector, what your provider, what it would feel like to see them die and just say, I'm going away. They may say, I'm going away and coming back, but this, you don't hear that. You just hear, you're going away. So what does that mean for me? Reminds me of the first time I saw Muhammad Ali get knocked down. Bang! And he's falling like a Greek statue. He falls to the ground. I just started crying. Boxing guy, the greatest of all time. Those guys felt that on a million levels. Does that make sense? So I want you to understand the context of what Jesus was doing when he was talking to his disciples. He was comforting them. He was comforting them. Now, let's look at the next slide. Okay, now, the first thing that we talked about was that Jesus is the way. He said, I am the way. There's a couple of things that we want to understand about Jesus being the way. You see it in John chapter 12. He says that the way to the Father is through him, is through Jesus. Jesus has to go to the cross. Amen? He has to go to the cross. He, in order for those disciples to be able to have rooms, to have intimacy with God, to live with him for eternity, Jesus has to go back to the Father. So you know the way. I'm going back to the Father. We've talked about this already. Yeah? The way for him was back to the Father. The way for the disciples to connect with the Father was through Jesus' death on the cross. That was the way. Does that make sense? That's the way. This is the way that he's talking about. I am the way. You know the way. Where are you going? We already talked about that. If I don't do this, there's no rooms. There's no reconciliation with God. If I'm not on the cross, if I don't rise again, I don't defeat death. I don't prove who I am if I don't do this. This is the way. This is what Jesus is saying. I am the way. You know. And they're going, nah, I don't. Okay, next slide. Jesus was the way. Jesus was the only one that could provide access to God because he alone paid the penalty for sins. Now, there was always this thing about sacrifices. Now, imagine someone making a sacrifice for an individual in the Old Testament because they used some foul language or they did something or whatever. They killed their neighbor's accidentally cow or however they did that. They would have to do a sacrifice thing. But there's no sacrifice that would be able to replace and be there for all time's sake for everyone. In order for there to be a sacrifice of that magnitude, that sacrifice would have to be pure. Okay? It would have to be pure. Now Jesus isn't putting himself up against any other religions and all these different things. That's just who he is. But I think that that's one of the things that I wrestle with. It's like, how do I get to God, and who can bring me there? I can't bring myself. And there's nobody other than Jesus that is able to make that sacrifice. Does that make sense? I mean, it's simple and plain. If you put anything up next to that, then you have to start asking questions based on Jesus' life. Yeah. Based on what Jesus did and based on who Jesus said he was. How many people do you know, humans, that have got away with saying that they are literally God? When you hear somebody say that, it's like conversation's over. They don't even get that out of their mouth. I am, I'm out. Yeah, I don't even remember what they say after that. I say, I am, I'm out. Everything turns off. And there's a reason why. Let's look at the next one. Jesus said, I am the truth. In John 5:31, he says, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. You know how the Pharisees, you know how people, unbelievers, accepted Jesus' testimony? How do we feel about people that testify about themselves? Yeah? I mean, honestly, even if they're right, you just like, but who could possibly die for everyone from the beginning of time till whenever Jesus comes back? Who could pay the penalty for all of those their sins? Who could say that they're the Son of God? Who could say that he and God are one? Who could do that? Now, when we get to the idea of truth, this is what Jesus is talking about. You could put, I am the way and the truth. Those things, they go together. Yeah? The truth. Now Jesus, in chapter 5, he talks about there's people that test, there's things that prove. There are things, there are truths that prove who I am. Next slide. Please be there. Hey! Amen. It's not the life. I don't think that got, this is the truth. Okay, this is the truth. Now, in verse 32 of, I believe it's chapter 5. In verse 32 of chapter 5, Jesus talks about four people that validate that he's a truth. Okay? One is John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he's baptizing people in the wilderness. He's saying, man, I'm doing my thing, but there's somebody greater coming than me, and I won't even be worthy to unloose his sandals. He will die for the sins of the world. Yeah? This is before Jesus got there. When Jesus got there, he goes, behold, the Lamb of God! Now, let's just talk about this for a minute when we talk about witnesses. John the Baptist is a valid witness. He's a righteous man. Yeah? So if you got somebody validating you that is unrighteous, you're not going to have the same effect. You know what I'm saying? John the Baptist is not trying to save his own life. John the Baptist died because he told the truth. Does that make sense? That's John the Baptist. And he talked about Jesus. Now, the second thing that validates Jesus as the true Son of God. And man, look at it. It's the works that Jesus did. Think about it. Jesus did the same things that God did. Same things. He restored people. He saved people. He could forgive sins. He walked on water. He brought the dead to life. He disappeared when people were talking about killing him. They got him in a crowd. We got him. And he's like, it's not time yet. And it just says that he just kind of moved out of there. This guy performed all kinds of, the woman that with the internal bleeding, she touches him and she's healed. Your faith, woman, has healed you. He did all of these miracles. Now, if these miracles don't prove the truth about who he is, he's the Son of God. He's one with God. I am the truth. John the Baptist, that's a legit fella. The works I did, you saw them. Lazarus didn't get killed, so holler at me. And then God the Father validated Jesus. Remember at his baptism with Johnny, this is my son, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. If that's not enough for you, in Deuteronomy, now you can just read this, Moses, hey, you remember who Moses was talking about, the prophet that was going to come, that God was going to manifest, that you should listen to him? Because everything that he says is true. I'm him. Oh. That's the truth. The idea of truth is that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God here on earth. Amen? When you see Jesus, you see God. The things that Jesus does are the things that God does. That's the truth. That's the proof. Now, how should the disciples be feeling after that? Okay. All right. Okay, I can dig it. And then lastly, what does he say? Next slide. We're making decent time. Jesus says, I am the life. I looked up some of the, I didn't put the words there, you know, from the Greek and these different types of things. But when we talk about Jesus being the life, the state of one who possesses, who's possessed of vitality or is animate, he's animated. So Jesus is the animation of God. Jesus, when he shows up, you ever seen one of those beamy, you know, they kind of transport in Star Wars and in Star Trek, they just magically appear. But this is God appearing here on earth. And he's life. He's life. Next slide. Now, I want to look at John chapter 1 and verse 4. Now, the word life, the same word that's used, says that Jesus was life and life was in him, and that life was the light of men. Let's just look at that. Can we look at that? Yes. Next slide, just so I'm not missing it. Is it there? Hey, let's go. So this is John chapter 1. We're all familiar with this. If you're not, don't feel bad. Amen? Today's your lucky day. No, this is your blessed day. I don't believe in luck. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with who? And the Word was who? And he was with? When? You ever notice that I don't know if you caught this, but in Genesis when it says, let us make man in our own image, says us. Now that's a whole thing to unpack, but that's saying that Jesus is there. Now there was a word that came up last week, and it was authority. 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 Hold on, let's just keep going here. All right, let's not get sidetracked. All things were created through him. This is Jesus. I was there in the beginning. All things were created through me. And apart from him, no one thing that was created has ever been created. So nothing has been created outside of the permission of Jesus. Is that authority? Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness has not overcome it. Now let's just talk about authority. Police have authority, correct? Your teachers at school in some ways, shapes, and form, and you better not. Have authority. Yeah? But do you always do what they say? No? I mean, we say police authority have authority. There's laws, and those laws say, you got to do this. And there's somebody somewhere that's going, he ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. Matter of fact, I don't want to do it. And I'm not going to prison. Boom. Now, Jesus does have authority to say something or make something happen. Did he make the wind and the storms and the rain? Did he make that stop? Did he make Lazarus rise from the dead? So he can't say things, but I want you to understand the authority here. There's another authority that Jesus has. There's an authority on a little scale that parents have, and that in Ephesians where it says, children, obey your parents, for this it'll go well for you if you... On some level, let me give you an illustration. I've been playing basketball since the 80s. I've been coaching basketball since the 80s. Yeah, I'm dating myself. You're like, man, we already knew you were old, man. You're like the third oldest guy in the congregation. So I coach these young kids. Yeah, I coach these young kids, and we always get this group of kids that, you know, you watch them trying to do something. And you've asked them to do something, and they decide not to do it. And then they look at you, and they try to tell you how it's supposed to be done. Well, I was just trying to get down the floor the fastest that I could, and this person was in the way, and all this stuff, and I'm listening to them. And I'm, you know, I don't get mad and yell. In my mind, I'm going, I was doing this before you were ever thought of. I made a living doing this. You will never make a living doing this. I have given my life to this. This is something you're doing to hang out with your friends and be popular with the women. And it's not working. Because you're not good. And I'm watching these guys, and I'm looking at them, and I'm like, you don't even know who I am. Your parents know. The other coaches know. Some of the players know. But you don't know. We had one of those watershed moments. I got to speak at a practice of about 22 kids, and it kind of came out. I was there from the beginning. Kids started going, Coach, what do you want me to do? You said to run over here and, you know, this to the sideline and get my hands out. You obviously understand. That's the type of authority that Jesus has. I've created everything. I was here from the beginning. I am God. It's been proved. This is the way that it's been forecast to be. This is life. I am life. When I show up on the scene, it gets light in the room. Does that make sense? Yeah. I mean, think about it. When Jesus shows up on the scene, there all of a sudden is hope for those who want it. Next slide. Okay, we're coming on home. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he has granted the Son to have life in himself, i.e. raising Lazarus from the dead. This is life. Yeah? This is life. This is who Jesus is saying I am. I am the life. I am from the very beginning of time. When life happened, I was there. I orchestrated it with the guys. That's who I am. Disciples, don't fret. Know who I am. You should know who I am. Next slide. We're still talking about life. Jesus is the revelation of God in human form. We talked about that. This is, I'm the way, I'm the truth. I am God in human form. He is eternal. He is forever. Who else can you say that about? Nobody. And they haven't proved it. Jesus is not subject to death. And he talked about that. Jesus made death subject to him. Jesus' death demonstrates his power and continuity, the continuity of his life, his consistent existence. Now understand this. His death, burial, and resurrection is the stamp of I'm always alive. I was alive from the beginning, before anybody was alive. If you just say, well, there's no God, no Jesus, there's a God, but there's no Jesus. It's like, nah, man. We're one. So when you acknowledge him, you acknowledge me. And I proved it. Next slide. Let's talk about light. You remember that that passage in Psalms and says that I think it's David, and he says, your word is a light unto my path. Is that what it says? Psalm 23. The light is emitted by a lamp, a heavenly light such as surrounded by the angels when they appear on earth. And so I just kind of went through logos. It's like, this is Jesus, man. This is that light that, you know what I'm saying? Whether you see it or not, that's there. God is light because light has the extreme, delicate, subtle, pure, brilliant quality. Now, the purity of Jesus makes him light. The purity of Jesus makes him stand out in a room full of know-it-alls to the scriptures. Jesus is a light that's the truth and it's knowledge. It enlightens people together with the spiritual purity associated with it. When we are in the presence of Jesus, why does it say that his word washes a spouse's wife, a husband's wife? Why does it cleanse us? Why does Jesus cleanse us? Because of the purity of who he is. Because of he is light. That which is exposed to the view of all. It's open and it's public. Yeah? Now you're probably going, okay, so where do we come into this? How do we get involved in this? Because, you know, we all come here and we want to talk about us. You're going, I'm not going to incriminate myself. I'll plead the fifth. But Jesus is a light, the power of understanding, especially more, and spiritual truth. This is light. This is what Jesus does in a life filled with darkness. Yeah? Next slide. We're almost done. Here's where we come in. Because, you know, we went through the who, what, when, and where. We went through the, you know, who was he talking to? What was he saying? What did he mean? Yeah? And then we kind of look at the differences between us. And now we've gotten to this piece where we're going, okay, what general principles do we take away from this? Every one of us in this room are a reflection of something. Regardless of how we intellectually view God, we are a reflection. We are, by the way that we live, do the words that we say, do the things that we think, does our body language, our words, do they lead to God? Do they lead to reconciliation? Do they animate the Father? Yeah? Next slide. Life is real, it's genuine, a life that's active and vigorous, devoted to God, blessed in the portion, even in this world, where there's difficulty in these things, of those who put their trust in God, and after the resurrection, they will be with Jesus when he takes his people to heaven. Among the things that you'll receive is a perfect body. Amen. It will be great to have two good knees, a good heart. Yeah? What does your life radiate? What does your life radiate? I want to ask you this question. Here's where we're going to tie it into us. Now, if you're visiting with us and you're going, who is this Jesus? I'd like to experience Jesus in my life. Maybe you need to tap someone on the shoulder in humility and say, could you study the Bible with me? Can you help me understand more about Jesus? Yeah? Maybe you can do that. Now, for those of you that are Christians, There's a piece that there are many angles that we could take. But I'd like to take this one. If Jesus is who he says he is in your life, what righteous person would validate you? Now understand that Jesus, when you read those four validations, Jesus says, I'm not really concerned with people validating me. God validates me. Amen? That should give you, but I'm just saying though, you know what I'm saying? We got people that are close to us in our lives and we haven't bullied them so much that they won't tell us the truth. You know what I'm saying? If they could just tell you the truth, what would they say? Your words, your actions, the way that you carry yourself says that you're a Christian. Not perfect, but you're a Christian. And that you help people to see God. They see God through you. More often than not. Next slide. We're getting ready to take communion, but let's leave with this. Let's consider what our witness is. Amen? If Jesus is who he says he is, if Jesus is who he says he is, do our lives portray the way to God? As disciples, I think it's important this year that we decide, and that's some communion stuff, so you can just turn that off for a second. As disciples, I think it's important that when we talk about Jesus and him being the way, how did Jesus go to the Father? How did Jesus come to earth? He made himself nothing. He humbled himself. How did Jesus produce fruit? He died so that there would be fruit. Are we still trying to get our own glory? Because if we are, we're holding on to things that don't glorify God. Does that make sense? What is the truth of our lives? Do we live for the moment? Do we live for right now? Are we trying to be famous right now? Are we trying to get our glory right now? Are we doing things that will temporarily make us feel good? But 15 minutes after, we're like, what did I do? Are we putting our trust in lies? Huh? Are we trusting in people more than Jesus? Whatever you're trusting in that's not Jesus, just put those two up together and do, what do they call that list? They call that the pros and cons. Just do that. But do it with somebody so you can't lie to yourself. Amen. Do it with a righteous person. And what about your life? Do you have eternal life? Do you invest in this life, giving it up because you've got more in heaven? Or are you building a temporary sandcastle here on earth? If you believe in eternity and being with Jesus, you're not out there playing. Yeah? If Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, there should be a confidence that comes out in our lives. Let's shift gears. Now's the time in our service when we're going to take communion together. And I want you to take communion this morning in lieu of... Now let me just read this passage. It's a passage to the Hebrews. They're wrestling with the persecution that they're going through. And they're falling into all of these other things other than Jesus because it's not popular to follow Jesus. Yeah? And so the writer is encouraging them, and if you read before that, it talks about the prophets, it talks about all of these different things, and it says that Jesus is better. The goal, the crux is, Jesus is better than everything. Now, when we don't focus on Jesus, we got a problem.
That's right.
Yeah? So there's kind of some foundation for you. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on who? Jesus. Now think about it. What are we keeping our eyes on? Jesus, the way to the Father. Jesus, the truth that has been proven from the beginning of time till we won't be here. Yeah? Jesus, the life who defeated death. Let us fix our eyes on him, the author, in some Bibles it says, the author and the perfecter, the mature of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured the cross and despised the shame and sat down at the right hand of God's throne. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself so that you won't grow weary and lose heart. When we take communion this morning, be reminded of Jesus' sacrifice to forgive us of our sins. Yeah? His death as a sacrifice. His rising from the dead. That means that death is defeated. That puts a stamp on that Jesus truly is the way. Jesus is the life. And he is the truth. This is supposed to encourage disciples going through a difficult time. Let's allow this time and who Jesus is and what he did and the truth of who he is to encourage us as we take communion. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that massages our heart into your word. God, we're grateful for Jesus. We're grateful that he is the way. We're grateful that regardless of who we are or who people say he is or he isn't, he is the way. And he's provided it. His blood, his body have been a sacrifice for our sins, for all sins, not just one people, not one color people, not one nationality, not one tax bracket, but for everybody. And thank you that everyone can be restored. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you so much for the richness of this time that we'll get to spend as we consider the way, the truth, and the life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.